Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. God is good. And all the time. Come on and clap your hands and bless the name of Jesus one more time. Amen. We bless the Lord. God has surprised me nicely this morning and brought to the Restoration Center a dear friend of mine I haven't seen in years. I was surprised. I stepped out, walked in, and there she was. This is somebody that God connected me to probably 10, 12 years ago thereabout. But since then, we've had an amazing relationship. And today, would you join me to acknowledge my dear friend, Her Ladyship, Mabel Ajiman. Just give a wave. Hallelujah. Amen. Auntie May, it's so nice to see you. I tell you. It's a yepunanaya achutre points. It's a blessing. Just lift up your hands to the Lord with me, everyone. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Semetase, eche mitima wo. Metase, eche. May he wire. Would you tell the Lord one more time? Semitasi, a dream, mitima. Mitiasi, a dream. Sing it again, sing it again. Once I'm alive, Lord.
Semitasi, a dream, mitima.
Team of war. Oh, let it resound again. Semitasio. Lift your hands and surrender to him. Oh, I saw many people know me cause me why they pray now why am I oh a dream yeah my to run around oh me pray my know me cause me It's the second half of the year, Lord. Today is the 12th day of the first month of the second half of the year. And Lord, we just look back and reflect on the many things that you have done for us. The psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." We cannot count them all. You've kept us, protected us, preserved us, always been a very present help in the time of need. We are grateful, Father. Your word says that all that men will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. We want to be reckoned among the grateful. And today, everyone here in gathered, plus all those who are watching online, we lift our voices together and say that, God, you are good and your mercies endure forever. This morning, we are ready to receive your word. Thank you for the powerful effects of your word on our lives. We submit ourselves to you. We open our hearts to you. Holy Spirit, touch us. Give us deep understanding and insight. May our lives be transformed. Help us not to be hearers only, but doers of your word. And let everyone testify at the end of the day that we were blessed because we came. I'm so grateful to you, Father, this morning. And in Jesus' mighty name have I prayed with thanksgiving. And let the people of God say, Amen. Give Jesus a big hand clap, everyone. Thank you very much. And please, you may resume your seats. And kindly turn your Bibles with me to the book of Habakkuk. Chapter 2, and we're reading from verse 1 to 3. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, from the New King James Version, please. The prophet Habakkuk wrote and said, "I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart or the tower and watch to see what he will say to me." That is what God will say to him, and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, "Write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry." Hallelujah. That word vision there also means dream, revelation, or prophecy. So when it says, write the vision, it also means write the dream. Write the revelation. Write the prophecy. And he says that for the vision or the dream or the revelation or the prophecy is yet for an appointed time. At the end, it will speak and it will not lie. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy words once again. Hallelujah. Your dream refers to, I explained to you last week, and I'm continuing my series on Don't Let Your Dreams Die. Amen. Well, just tell somebody sitting by you, don't let your dreams die. Amen. And your dream is a God-given vision, purpose, or aspiration that God has planted in your heart. So when I talk about dream, I'm not talking about after you finished eating a big bowl of omutuo and you went to sleep and you started seeing all kinds of things. You saw a cow, you saw a crab, you saw tilapia. You know, the tilapia was wearing a wig and it was chasing you all over the place. That's not the sort of thing I'm talking about here. The dreams that I'm saying to you, you must not let die. I'm referring to your God-given visions, aspirations and purpose, what he has planted in your heart. Hallelujah. It is also that strong desire to become who God created you to be and to accomplish what he has called you to do. May everything that God has purposed for your life come to pass. May every dream that he's laid on your heart be fulfilled. May every prophecy that has come your way be accomplished. And may God bring to pass every purpose of his life concerning you. Can I hear your loudest amen?
Amen.
But here is the thing, my friends. Sometimes you get to a place in life where you begin to question, will my dreams ever come to pass? Especially when you've encountered a lot of disappointments. How many have been disappointed before? Frustrated. You know, you've met a lot of opposition. You've been confused. And you've had a lot of uncertainties. Sometimes the problem is one of delay. And you ask God, say, Eradie, Tabeng. You've waited and waited and waited to see certain things manifest. Waiting for that wife. Waiting for that husband. Waiting for that job. Waiting for that money. Waiting for your business to take a turn for the better. Waiting to get that admission. Dabeng. D for Dabeng. Yeah. Waiting to get that visa so you can travel. But all you are encountering are frustrations, disappointments, rejection. I think the painful one, the most painful one, is when you get an indication that things are about to work out now. Yeah. Only for you to be swept. In God, there's an expression for it. You know? And you ask yourself that, what at all is God doing? You can see that things are working well for others. People keep testifying of their blessings and their breakthroughs. And you ask yourself that, when is God going to change my situation? And whenever you encounter something like that, there's a strong temptation to just give up and to quit. And the truth is that there are many believers who have given up on their dreams. They've just concluded that God didn't mean anything that he said. You know, sometimes you tell yourself that, perhaps God is interested in others, he's not interested in me. But that's the reason why God has sent me to announce to you that no matter what you are going through and experiencing, don't let your dreams die. Amen. I started sharing some powerful lessons with you. The first one is that God's delays are not equal to God's denials. Amen. You know, it is God who spoke to the prophet Habakkuk and said to him, though it tarries, in fact, he said, but at the end, it will speak. Then he said, though it tarries, it will surely come. These statements suggest to me that God is admitting that sometimes there will be delays. And I told you last week that delays are part of life. Amen. And delays are part of destiny. But the fact that you've experienced those delays do not mean that God has forgotten about you. And a delayed dream is not necessarily a dead dream. It's delayed, but it's not dead. So don't conclude it is. Understand that every great promise of God has an appointed time. And when that time comes, and when that season of your life comes, God will show up in a very powerful way. And that which you've been waiting for will manifest right before your eyes. I see that time coming for you. Shall I receive it three times? Two. Three. Hallelujah. Then the second lesson I shared with you is that your current circumstances do not define your future. Don't make that mistake. The circumstances surrounding your life are not the very best. And what you're seeing is not what you bargained for. But never make the mistake of allowing your present or current state circumstances to define your future. And I told you that your address today is not your destiny tomorrow. Amen. Your address today is not your destiny tomorrow. I think I told you the story of the gentleman who came to inform his pastor with great joy and glee that he is going to find accommodation, and God has made a way for him. The price was so good, 30 Ghana cedis a month, and so he has paid for 10 years advance. And the pastor was very upset with him for good reason. It means that for the next 10 years of your life, you're not going anywhere. Is that the only dream and vision that you have for your life? So, you know, it's important as you go through life to believe that there's something greater and better that God has prepared for you. And the Bible says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men what the Lord has prepared for those who love Him." Who love Him? How many love the Lord? You can say that you really love the Lord. Well, the Bible says He has some amazingly wonderful things drawn up and prepared for you, and in due season they will come to pass. Say, "I hear you." But don't be confused by your current circumstances. It is just seasonal. It's not going to stay forever. Amen. And we looked at the story of Joseph. The first time we hear of Joseph, he had a dream, and then he had another dream. It was a dream that spoke of greatness, and he believed it. And being young and, you know, inexperienced, he went about broadcasting what God had revealed to him. And of course, he attracted some enemies. And soon, his dreams turned into a nightmare. Before he could say Jack, he was in a pit. And the initial intention of his brothers, who were jealous and envious of him and hated him, was that they would leave him there to die. But look, whatever plans people have concerning you, understand, say, nipa enyanyame. Man is not God. Cannot be. It amazes me how people can stand and speak with such confidence and audacity and say things about another person's life, that you will not amount to anything, you will never see good things, it shall not be well with you. What do you mean, and who the heck do you think you are? Nobody can stop what God has determined concerning your life. Believe that. Yeah. That's why the Bible says, "Let them speak the word and it shall not stand. Let them take counsel together and it shall amount to naught." Any negative prediction made against your life is canceled in the mighty name of Jesus. Any curse, any ill will, any condemnation, any false accusation, any spell that has been released over your life, I declare that it shall not come to pass by the power that is in the name of Jesus. Shall I receive it? It won't come to pass. And for a moment, it looked like Joseph's dream was not going to happen. Then from the pit, the next he saw was a rope being lowered to pull him out. He thought that these guys have repented, that they become born again. So they decided not to continue with the plan. Only for him to be sold into slavery. Ended up in a strange land among strange people with a strange culture. You can imagine how confusing all of that was for a young boy, 17 years old, who had only known his father's comfort and protection all his life. And here he was, very far away. But you see, there was something inside that young boy
that refused to let his circumstances kill his dream. How do I know? He stayed faithful to the Lord. He had a good attitude. Many of us, when things are not going well, our attitudes change. We become very funny. But he kept a good attitude right there in Potiphar's house. And he said cheerfully and happily. And soon Potiphar realized that the hand of the Lord was upon this boy. And he elevated him and made him the chief steward in his home. Joseph thought that things had changed for the better. Only for his madam to fix her eyes on him. I presume he was young, handsome, good-looking guy. And perhaps Potiphar didn't have time for her. So she was looking for a replacement. Oh, she did. Joseph said, no, I shan't. He said what? I shan't. One day she attempted to rape the boy. And he fled for dear life, leaving his cloak in her hands. She felt so rejected and ashamed. That was when she decided that, there's a saying that hell hath no fury like a woman's scorned. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Because sometimes with a woman, the love that she has for you can turn into something else in a flash. And that's what happened to Potiphar's wife. Her husband came and said that the boy you brought, he tried to do it. Before Joseph would realize he was in prison. Does this look to you like a fulfilled dream? Where is the fulfillment? Because the dreams that he had revealed that he was going to become great and was going to become the shining star of his family. That was the dream that he had. How can such a dream be fulfilled in prison? But he stayed focused. He never let his dreams die. He served faithfully in the prison. Was kind to others. The prison warden elevated him and made him the chief prisoner. So even in prison, he had posts. What kind of man is this? He interpreted dreams of some of the prisoners, thinking that when the dreams are fulfilled, they will remember him. The only thing they did was that they forgot him. Is that very painful? And all these things could have affected Joseph, and he could have decided that that's it. Let me just forget about this dream thing and just adapt and compromise and adjust and accept that this is my destiny. But that's not what he did. He did not let his circumstances destroy his dream. And that's what God is saying to you. Yeah, I know that the circumstances have been very painful. Things have been very bad for you. I know the rejection, the betrayal, the accusations. You know? Sometimes a blessing comes your way and you begin to feel settled. And then the next moment, something has happened and then the blessing has disappeared. So it's like, how did I get here? But no matter the circumstances, don't let your dreams die. Hallelujah. Number three. Don't allow disappointment to bury your dream. Do not allow disappointment to bury your dream. Don't allow disappointment to bury your dreams. See, my friends, disappointment is a very dangerous feeling. And it is not just dangerous because it hurts. Because when you are disappointed, it comes with a lot of pain sometimes. That's not the only reason why disappointment is dangerous. Another major reason why disappointment is dangerous is that it convinces people to stop believing. Yeah. That's what disappointments can do to you. It will convince you to stop believing, and your disappointment can speak louder than your faith. And that's dangerous. Because when you stop believing and when you stop hoping, it's like a signal that the end is about to come. And that's what disappointment can do to you. And it can actually cause you to bury your dream. And it is not because God has changed his mind about you. He hasn't. He hasn't. The Bible says God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and shall he not do it? Has he promised and shall he not make good? He hasn't changed his mind. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he's a covenant keeping God. What he has said concerning you, he is determined to bring it to pass. So don't let anything send you a contrary signal and make you feel that no, God has lied to me. So now your favorite song is That's a song you are singing now. That the Lord has deceived me. God hasn't changed his mind. Tell your neighbor, God hasn't changed his mind. So stop thinking the way you are thinking. He hasn't. You know, if I think about this, I think, of course, I can talk about Joseph, but another person that I can talk about is Abraham. Look at what the Bible says about him. Romans chapter 4, verse 18 to 21. Romans 4, 18 to 21. New Living Translation says, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken. Even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. Abraham, of course, must have been through seasons of disappointment. The first time God appeared to him and said, your descendants are going to be like the particles of sand and like the stars, count them. And he was 75 years old. 75 years old. 80 years, no show. And was wondering how it was going to come to pass, because he did not have a child. He was childless. And he was old. And so was his wife, Sarah. Now, God did not promise them that he was going to miraculously drop a child in Sarah's womb. That's not the promise of God. It meant that okay, pay attention here. That was not the promise that God made to Abraham and Sarah. It meant that they had to do what everybody does in order to get pregnant. And they were expecting that Sarah was going to get pregnant along the line. 5 years, nothing was happening. 10 years, nothing was happening. 15 years, nothing was happening. At the point, they decided to even help God out. Because Sarah came one day and told Abraham that the way you've been eyeing Hagar, my maidservant, I know that you now, you've been imagining things already. It's okay, I've given you permission. Whatever you want to do. Perhaps God will, maybe God needs help. Now God doesn't need your help to do what only he can do. He doesn't need your help at all. It was disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. But the Bible says Abraham did not stutter at the promise of God. He never gave up. Disappointments there were, but he did not allow his disappointments to bury his dream. And that is the point that I'm really trying to get you to understand. Even though he realized that his body was old, he kept believing. Even though he knew that Sarah's womb was dead, he kept believing, and he refused to bury the promise. He refused to bury the prophecy. The Bible says he became stronger in faith. He became stronger in faith. Because the truth is that most people become weaker as delay increases. But Abraham became stronger. And I adjure you by the mercies of God, that do not let the disappointments you encounter make you bury your dreams. Don't. Keep the dream alive. Don't let it die. Don't let it die. Don't bury it. Because God is up to something. He says that my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. But as the heavens are separated from the earth, I mean, just look at the distance and the separation. He said, that is how my ways are separated from yours and my thoughts are different from yours. There are times when you feel that if God is going to do something in my life, he must do it this way and that way. But never ever forget, my dear friend, that God is sovereign. He does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it, and with whoever he wants to do it. That's what makes him sovereign. And we need to trust him. And we need to believe in him. Hallelujah. The next powerful lesson. Don't let other people kill your dream. Do not let other people kill your dream. Because if you allow it, they will. They will kill it. Amen. Joseph did not allow his brothers to kill his dream. David did not allow his brothers to derail him. He did not allow King Saul to kill his dream. Because here is the thing. Often, your dream will attract opposition. Critics, rejection, doubters, mockers, and naysayers. Often that's what's going to happen. When you share your dream, there are people who will laugh at you and tell you that you seem to have forgotten where you come from, your background, the family from which you come, your education, your social status. You seem to have forgotten all that. And you say that God is going to do what with you. Please, go and tell it to the Marines. It's never going to happen. There are times you may share your dream with somebody and the only reaction you get is mockery and painful laughter. That were so quack, 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 quack. It's like you have not assessed yourself well. You must dream a dream that is according to your size. Yeah. Also, then cut your quota according to your size. Whatever. So, if you have a dream, you will meet doubters, critics, naysayers, opposition. Remember the story of when Nehemiah set out to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Look at the story in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. Sanballat was very angry when he learned that we were rebuilding the wall. He flew into a rage and mocked the Jews. Notice what he did. He mocked them, saying in front of his friends and the Samaritan army officers, "What does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they are doing? Do they think
They can build the wall in a single day by just offering a few sacrifices? Do they actually think they can make something of stones from a rubbish heap and charred ones at that? Then mockers, they have company. So now Tobiah took over. So Tobiah the Ammonite, who was standing beside him, remarked, "That stone wall will collapse if even a fox walked along the top of it." Said the mockery. Mockery. As you started that business, people are laughing at you, mocking you. They tell you that, hey, yeah, you are coming to open a saloon here. It will never work. Go and think about yourself. Better people than you have come and have tried and have attempted. It didn't work. You know, to be laughed at is one of the very painful things in life. I mean, you're saying something and you're very serious and sincere about it, and the reaction you get is mockery and laughter. And that's what these guys were doing to Nehemiah. The Bible says his response was, he prayed, "Hear us, our God, for we are being mocked. May their scoffing fall back on their own heads, and may they themselves become captives in a foreign land." You see, in those times, on chair, now we're rubudia. Look, I have explained to you that we operate under a better covenant. So don't be quick. Some of you, your favorite scriptures are the ones where curses are being released. You've memorized them. And you have a curse for every situation. The spirit you are operating under is not the spirit of God. Because the spirit of God does not operate in that way. He said, "Do not ignore their guilt. Do not blot out their sins, for they have provoked you to anger here in front of the builders." But even though they did their worst, the Bible says, at last the wall was completed to half its height around the entire city, for the people had worked with enthusiasm. Hallelujah. So there were mockers, yes. There were people who sneered at them, who said painful things against them. But they did not allow what they said to redefine the dream and the vision. They did not allow what the people said to derail them. They pressed on and continued, and they finished the assignment that they had set out to accomplish. Now, I want to say to you, my friend, don't surrender your future to someone else's opinion. Do not surrender your future to somebody else's opinion. Because they are not the ones who called you. They are not the ones who laid that dream and vision on your heart. So why do you allow them to confuse you and to take you off course? Whatever happens, don't let other people kill your dream. People often criticize what they don't understand. And some people laugh at you because they haven't seen what God showed you. They were not there. Like one politician said, "You and I were not there." They were not there. So they didn't see what you saw. Don't be surprised about their reaction. And I want to encourage you that whenever you meet such opposition and criticism and betrayal and what have you, number one, continue believing and trusting God. And then number two, condemn every accusation or every tongue that rises against you. And what I mean by condemning, what I'm saying is that don't just accept what people say, speak against it. Speak a word that counteracts what they are saying. Don't just take in the garbage that people throw at you. If anybody ever says something bad, something negative, something derogatory, something insulting, something condemning against you, find a scripture, find a positive word, and you speak it out. Because sometimes it becomes a battle of words. Learn to speak it out and cancel and nullify and condemn every negative prediction against your life. If they say you will die, stand and say, I shall not die, but I shall live to declare the glory of God. If they say to you that you will never rise up in life, tell them that God has promised me he will make me the head and not the tail. If they tell you that you can't do this thing, tell them I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If they tell you that nobody will help you, tell them that if God be for me, who can be against me? If they tell you that nobody in your family has prospered, tell them that God's wish for me is that I will prosper and be in good health, even as my soul prospers. So find a scripture for every situation that is thrown at you. And by the grace of God, your dreams will come to pass. Clap your hands and bless the name of the Lord. We're ending. Number five, the next powerful thing that I want to share with you in relation to this subject of don't let your dreams die is you must keep moving even when you don't understand. Keep moving even when you don't understand. Isaiah 40 verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, notice he's talking about those who wait on the Lord. Sometimes there's an erroneous impression that people have that when you are waiting, it means you must just be there. You must be inactive. You must be passive. Now, that's a mistake. If God has said something to you and you are a carrier of a prophecy or a dream, don't just be there. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. If you keep looking at things around you that are not encouraging, that are not promising, you will never make any move in life. But you must learn to take certain steps in faith and believe that as you are waiting on God, you are making moves and looking forward to him turning things around for you. Waiting is not quitting. Waiting is not just being there. Waiting is not just being passive. Waiting is not just being inactive. Waiting is active trust and faith. And whilst you wait, pray. Whilst you wait, continue serving. Whilst you wait, continue preparing. Whilst you wait, continue expecting. Because here's the thing. Many people stop serving when they become disappointed. They don't serve no more. They don't give anymore. They don't evangelize anymore. They stop attending church faithfully. They stop dreaming. And I want to say to you that do not stop dreaming. Whilst you're waiting for God to turn things around and cause the blessing to be manifested in your life, do not stop dreaming. Tell your neighbor, don't stop dreaming. And number six, your dream may be delayed because God is preparing you. Hallelujah. Your dream may be delayed because God is preparing you. James chapter 1 verse 2 to 4. And we end with this. James chapter 1 verse 2 to 4. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So, let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Psalm 66 verse 10 to 12. Psalms 66 verse 10 to 12. You have tested us, O God. You have purified us like silver. You captured us in your net
and laid the burden of slavery on our backs. Then you put a leader over us. We went through fire and flood, but you brought us to a place of great abundance. We went through fire and flood, but you brought us to a place of great abundance. Hear me, my friends. Often, before God will lift you up and bring certain blessings into your life, He's going to ensure that you have the capacity to handle those blessings. Because any blessing that you do not have capacity for can end up destroying you. For some people, what leads to their destruction is because they were exposed to certain blessings too early and too quickly, and they did not have the capacity for it. And what God does with us often in life is that He takes us through different things. He takes us through some training. Some of it is painful. Some of it is very difficult. Some of the things that God allows you to go through. So in the scripture that we read, He said that God tested us. He captured us in His net and laid a burden on our backs. And the earlier scripture in James is saying that count it all joy when you go through diverse temptations. He says that when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete. And sometimes God wants to bring you to a certain level of maturity before He places certain things in your hands. If you have a yam phone, you can give it to your 3-year-old son to play with. Are you going to put an iPhone? What's the latest version? 17. The 17 series. Are you going to put that iPhone in the hands of the boy when history has revealed that every phone that you give to him, he puts it in water? Yeah. Would you put that phone in his hands? He cannot handle it. So it may well be that there are certain delays in our lives, in our ministries, in our business, in our profession, in our career, because God is doing a work in us and trying to build our capacity before He drops certain things in our lives. When David was anointed, he was maybe 15, 16, 17 years old. Was he anointed? Yes, he was. There were a lot of people at his coronation ceremony, and they knew that this boy was going to be king over Israel. At the time, Saul was king, but it was obvious that God had chosen him to replace Saul. But it didn't happen the next morning. He was anointed, all right. By the time he finally sat on the throne, he was 30 years old. And most of that period was spent in the wilderness, fleeing for dear life because there was a price on his head. Saul had sworn to kill him. And he ended up with a team of bandits who ended up becoming David's mighty men. Is that the life that you are expecting for somebody who has been anointed as king? It took a long time. It took a lot of, you know, difficult moments. But all of that were God's agenda to build capacity. Because I tell you, if you don't have capacity for where God is taking you, when you land there, you'll be confused. You see, you've not built up spiritual capacity. That's why every time you apply for the visa, they refuse. Because the way you are, when you get to, where is it that you said you wanted to go to again? America. The way you are currently, if you get there, it won't be a good thing. It won't be a good thing. You become something else. You'll be there. No, you are a boy. The next time we hear you, you say that you are a girl. That's the reason why sometimes things delay in our lives. Because what you are calling delay is actually called preparation. That's what it's called. What you are calling delay is actually God's preparation. And when you have gone through that school, and sometimes it's a school of hard knocks, after you've come through that school, and you know, I think that one of the things that God teaches us when he takes us through that school is he teaches us humility. Because without humility, he can't lift you up. Humble yourself, therefore, in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So he can't lift you up unless you have humbled yourself. And sometimes the things that you go through is all to teach you humility. Sometimes it is to teach you patience. Sometimes it is to teach you compassion. Sometimes it is to teach you long-suffering. It may be to teach you self-control. Sometimes you go through things to take away a certain foolishness. Sometimes that's why it happens. To take away a certain foolishness. Because foolishness, it is wilder than super glue. It's very difficult to get rid of it sometimes. Now, when God is trying to rid you of that foolishness, rid us of that foolishness, it may be very painful. And you may even think that God doesn't like you. But he loves you. There are things we take our children through. Painful things for them, but necessary for us. Because you realize that if I don't correct this thing, and if I don't direct her properly, he will turn out to be a beast one day. And as you are correcting the child, he's angry. My father doesn't love me. My mother doesn't love me. And all of that. Their children want to run away from home. Run away and go where? Where are you going? Okay, brief here. Because what is being done is out of love. It's not out of hatred. It says, whom the father loveth, he chasteneth. Hallelujah. So that is what it is, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll conclude and say this. That some of the people you find biblically in contemporary life who have made something out of their lives, many of them experience delays that could have killed their dreams. And one common denominator that you see in many of these people is that they did not allow their dreams to die. Neither should you. It looks as if the odds are stacked against you. But don't give up. Don't give up. The song we sing. God is able to do just what he said he will do. He is gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God. 'Cause he won't give up on you. He's able. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Would you sing again with me? God is able to do just what he said he will do. He's gonna fulfill. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you.
give up. Don't give up on God, 'cause He won't give up on you. He's able. Oh,
rise to your feet.
Oh, He's able. Will you join me sing? Lift your hands and surrender to Him. He's able. Oh, oh, He's able. He's able.
He's able.
He's able.
He's able. What He said He would do, He will do it in your life. What He promised to do, He will bring them all to pass. Don't you worry no more. Don't you cry no more. Don't give up on God. He's able. Weeping will last only for a night, but your joy is gonna come right in the morning. He will turn your morning into dancing, my friend. He will put that smile back right on your face. He's a faithful God. He never fails us. He never changes His mind. What He said He will do. My friend, don't lose hope no more. Keep your head up. He will do it for you. Said He's able. My God is able. Said He is able. He's able. What you see today will turn around tomorrow. What you thought will destroy you will be wiped out to your good. He's looking for you.
He's able.
Looking out for you.
He's able.
Keeping His eye on you.
He's able.
He'll make do on His way.
He's able.
Keep your head up.
He's able.
Keep your joy intact.
He's able.
He's able.
He's able.
He's able.
He's able.
Don't give up. Again, don't give up on God.
Don't give up on God. 'Cause He won't give up on you.
What's the response?
He's able.
Just stand, Jesus, that He's able. Just stand, God, all that He's able. Just thank Him. Just thank Him. Lima sukata yandere bosukutu. Seketele moko setele meke sana yandere. Lika sata yanda da 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 ba. Sika ta yanda da 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 ba. In the second half of the year, we just receive a prophetic word. As we are living out of the church today, the only word that should ring in your spirit as you forge ahead in the coming month is that He is able. La satayanda da 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 da. When the challenges show up, the only thing that you should have in mind, He is able. Just thank the Lord. Yes, satayanda olomosuti. Holy Atta Santa Yanda da da ba Zikata Yanda de Bosekata Yanda da da ba Leke Sete Lemoko Sata Yanda da ba Zikata Yaba Roko Sata Yanda da da ba da ba da ba Diyata Yanda da ba da ba da ba. Just lift up your voice and let's just thank God for this prophetic word. I don't know, but this is a prophetic word that we need to take as a church, that in the second half of the year 2026, no matter what we go through, He is able. He is able. He is able. Online, 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 in your room, believe God and pray into this prophetic word.
La sata yanda da da basika ta yanda da. Lesete le mesia ta 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 da 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 ba dere. Lesete de mesia ta da da ba da da da. Zete de mesia ta ta la ma da 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 da. Zete de mesia da 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 basia ta ta la mama. Pray into this word. Pray into this word. Pray into this word. Pray into this word. La sata yanda da. You have 3 minutes more to pray. Just pray into this word that you are going to run with this word in the second half of the year. No matter what we face, no matter what we meet, we will say he is able. He is able. Through the challenges, we will say he is able. Through the pains, we will say he is able. Haya sata yata la mama. You have 2 minutes more. Just pray into this prophetic word. This word is going to carry us through the year, and the year is going to be great for us. Pray to the word. La sata yanda da da ba de. Oh ya sata yanda da 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 ba. He's gonna fulfill every promise. Every promise. Every promise. Every promise.
Oh, don't give up on God. Cause he won't give up. He is able.
Everybody lift up your right hand. Say with me, Father, thank you for your word. In the second half of the year, thank you that you are able. I'm going to run the race by your grace. My dreams will not die. I will fulfill them. Thank you, Lord, that through the challenges, you are with me. You are able. More than able. Declared, say, you are able. More than able. I speak to any challenge. I speak to any problem. I speak to any disappointment. I speak to any disgrace. That my God, he is able. Put your hands together for the Lord. He's able. Every head bow and every eye close. If you are here, you are not born again. You've not received Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. What you need to understand is that for God to carry you through the second half of the year, even as we receive this word that he is able, you must first of all receive him as your Lord and personal Savior. When you receive him as your Lord and personal Savior, that is where he's going to direct you and carry you through the year. You want to say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to be born again. And I want Jesus to take over my life. Just lift up your right hand as we pray. Thank you. God bless you. Online, wherever you are, just lift up your right hand. Let's pray this prayer together. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for my life. Thank you for saving me. And thank you for dying on the cross just because of me. Today, I receive you as my Lord and my personal Savior. Please forgive me of all my sins and wash me with your precious blood. I declare today that I am born again. I am saved and I am a child of God. Say thank you, Jesus, for accepting me just the way I am. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.